about that, Peter? Like it? Am I on? Okay. So we have been studying a small period of Jewish history between the conquest of Joshua, pushing the inhabitants out, helping the Israelites take possession of what God had promised them, between then and Saul, the first king. That is the period of time that we're studying here. And during that time, God intended, as Tim was mentioning last week, God intended that there would be, the control would be by theocracy, that God would govern his own people. I mean, that shouldn't be too far-fetched. It shouldn't be too hard to consider that God could do this. God is a leader. One of the most frequent references to him in the Psalms is that he's the King of Kings. He is a leader. Shouldn't have been too hard. He's the King of Righteousness. He published his standard of righteousness. Like Luke always says, that's it. Just those Ten Commandments. He doesn't have to refine them the way we do. We keep adding and addending and addending and editing and testing in the courts our own laws. Not so with God. He could lead his people. That's the point. A theocracy should have worked. Not only that, not only is God a leader, but he also gave them a framework. They knew how it was supposed to operate. They had a priesthood. They had the whole Levitical law system. There was enough stuff going on that it would involve their everyday, and that's what God intended, to be in communication with his people constantly. It should have worked. But Israel found governance by an unseen force to be a little bit difficult. It just was too much to conceive of. And so we get to the time of Judges, and this is mentioned twice in the book of Judges, that every man just did what was right in his own sight. And it didn't go very well. And so through this time of Judges, through what is recorded here in this this book of Judges, we see 12 cycles again of sin and subjugation and supplication and salvation, and then they'd have a time of peace, of shalom. Over and over, we see it, and it got worse and worse and worse. Well, I have a new verse for us this morning. It's not Romans 15:4. This morning, I'm going to use 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man or the woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good deed. So, we're going to be studying part of the Scriptures. This is what we should expect. Reproof if I need reproof, teaching if I need teaching, correction if I need correction, and training if I need training. But we are needy for something this morning. And that's what we're going to expect God to do. And so, here, I want to pray, but I would like us to, this prayer is really work. So is singing. It's a lot of work if you're worshiping. So I want to invite you again, gear up your mind, gear up your soul, to just pray with me here. We're going to ask God to do work this morning. Father, thank you for the Scriptures. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, that your job, one of your jobs, is to imprint these things to our very soul. And so whatever the need is here in each of our hearts, we ask you to minister through your word this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Judges chapter 5 this morning. Basically a song that was written about what Tim went over last week. And my basic theme is this, that when leaders lead, and when volunteers volunteer, when people volunteer, God is honored. I want us to read the chapter together here. Fairly long, but and it's a little bit obscure. Some of the meaning in it is a little obscure. This is the way artists are, you know. They try to emote things, and whether it's meaningful or not, to me, it is to the one who wrote it, and so it's art, and this is a song. So we'll pull out what we can, but I'm not going to pretend to be Mr. Scholar to know every innuendo here that is mentioned. Chapter 5 of Judges. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, the day of their victory, they sang this, that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. We got something done. We finally did something. I forgot to look. I think it was 20 years they were under the hand of Jabin. It was bad. Finally, somebody did something. That's Deborah's heart here. Bless the Lord. And it wasn't just the leaders. Actually, Hebrews 11 remembers Barak. I don't think Deborah's mentioned. It mentions Barak. And he was this little mouse saying, I'll go if you go. But he went. Mark it. He went. And he is being honored here, and they're rejoicing together. Deborah is rejoicing that he went. And that made people volunteer. Hear, O kings, give ear, O rulers, I, to the Lord, I will sing. I will sing praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Deborah knew that it was God's victory. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth quaked. The heavens also dripped. Even the clouds dripped waters. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord, this Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. Here's one of the obscure parts. Seir is way down south. It's south of the Dead Sea, between the Dead Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba. Edom is also down there. This battle was about 50 miles or so west of the Sea of Galilee, way up north. What? Don't know exactly. It seems like Deborah is making a connection between God's path with Israel, bringing them out of Egypt, going through, I believe they went through the Gulf of Aqaba, that is the Red Sea, and into the Promised Land. It included God coming down on Mount Sinai and burning it. I mean, it was a earth-shaking thing, literally. Seems like Deborah is drawing a connection. This is the God I'm talking about. The God who is like that. He is powerful. Verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and travelers went by roundabout ways. In other words, it was bad. The public roads were so bad, it wasn't safe to travel on them. You'd get robbed, or worse. That's what was going on. The peasantry ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose, a mother in Israel. This is not Deborah bragging. I believe this is Deborah saying, God used me. What an amazing thing. He used me like a mom. We generally don't think of moms as being out in front of an army. She was a caretaker. God used her to care for Israel. Verse 8, new gods were chosen, then war was in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. They weren't equipped. You know, they just went out there. In fact, a little later you'll see, she says of Naphtali, they despised their life even to death. They were willing to throw it away. They were willing to give their life if need be. And that's what's exciting Deborah here. Verse 9, my heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, the volunteers among the people. Bless the Lord. Here it is again. We got something done and we did it together. Praise God for everyone who was involved, and my heart goes out to you with great gratitude. This happens anytime God's work is done. There's great jubilation. And there will be after this coming fair. I'm going to be talking about the fair a little bit later. After we labor hard for a week, Well, we're going to be out of the building that Sunday on the 14th, but when we meet again on the 21st, let's see. I'm up, right? I think I'm up. And I will have much to commend you for. The leaders are going to lead. We have led. We are leading. And you're going to volunteer. And we are going to rejoice. Yes. Amen. Verse 10, you who ride on white donkeys, you who sit on rich carpets, and you who travel on the road, sing at the sound of those who divide flocks among the watering places. There they shall recount the righteous deeds of the Lord, the righteous deeds for his peasantry in Israel. God cared. God delivered. Then the people of the Lord went down to the gates. Verse 12 begins another section. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. She's singing, arise, I think. Arise, my soul, arise. I think that's what she's saying. Arise, Barak, and take away your captors, O son of Abinoam. Then survivors came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came down to me as warriors. They came as warriors, these foot soldiers with nothing, no spear, no sword, and 40,000. They came down. I'm just, here I am. That's about it. Barak says, this is the way. Okay. Notice how this is remembered. From Ephraim, those whose root is in Amalek, came down following you, Benjamin. So Ephraim was about in the middle of Israel. Benjamin, just a little piece by the Jordan. These two came down, and then Manasseh is mentioned. From Maker, commanders came down. Maker would be connected with Manasseh. He's a progenitor of Manasseh. And from Zebulun, those who wield the staff of office. And the princes of Issachar. So now we've got Ephraim, Manasseh, Naphtali, Zebulun. Those are the ones primarily who volunteered, and they are remembered. We'll get to the others very soon. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, as was Issachar, so was Barak. Into the valley they rushed at his heels. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great searches, resolves of heart. This is really getting into the meat of my heart in this message. What is it to have a great resolve of heart? A decision has to be made. A wrestling with my soul. Read on. Verse 16. Why do you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping of the flocks? Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Reuben's tribe was over on the east side of the Jordan. Reuben's tribe bordered the Dead Sea on the east side. It was south, the southmost part on the east side of the Jordan. I'm trying to say it was a little ways away from where the battle was. But what Deborah is indicating it here is this is for everybody. Where were you? Deborah was a judge in the land, and I didn't put this map up, but we've had it up before, how these judges were in various parts of Israel, some in Judah, then some up in kind of Manasseh's area, then Gideon was in there, and we're up a little bit farther north here in this battle. Up the Kishon River is kind of north yet of the Galilee. So we're way up north. But she expected that Reuben would know and that some would volunteer. And they did kind of search their heart. But evidently most of them stayed home. Gilead remained across the Jordan. That would be up north on the east side. And why did Dan stay in ships? He'd be up north. And why was Asher at the seashore and remained by its landings? Asher was a lot closer than Reuben. Dan was a lot closer than Reuben. She's complaining, where were you? Didn't you hear? Was it somebody else's job? Where were you? Zebulun was a people who despised their lives even to death. And Naphtali also on the high places of the field. They laid their life on the line. to death, if need be. The kings came forth and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan. At Taanach, near the waters of Megiddo, they took no plunder. Came home empty-handed. The stars fought from heaven. Here we go a little bit poetically. The stars fought from heaven. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. Sisera was the commander of Jabin's army. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. Deborah knew who won the battle. But the men were involved. And everyone who was involved could sing this song with her. The ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon, O my soul, march on with strength. Then the horse's hooves beat from the dashing of his valiant steeds. I read some commentary on this, and they said they think this is sarcastic. Here they came with their 900 chariots, at least 900 horses. Oh boy, weren't they flashy in the mud? That was kind of the thought, you know. Whoopee! You got wiped away. The river wiped them away. And then in verse 23, she says, curse, Meraz, says the angel of the Lord, utterly curse its inhabitants, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the warriors. I don't know where this place is, this Meraz. But it's interesting that the angel of the Lord was so moved, said, cursed be you guys. You didn't show up. Where were you? We needed you. Actually, God did the battle. It wasn't so much that they were, you know, limited in strength, because God was the one who had the strength. But where were you to participate? Where were you to enjoy the victory? Cursed be you. Woo. Now, the section on Jael. This is exciting. Most blessed of women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Remember what she did? She killed the guy, slamming a tent peg through his temple. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. There are only two women in the Bible that are addressed in this way, Jael and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Most blessed is Jael. He, that would be Sisera, asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a magnificent bowl, she brought him curds. She reached out her hand for the tent peg, and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera, she smashed his head, and she shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet, he bowed, he fell, he lay. Between her feet, he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell dead. The last section is the mom of Sisera. Out of the window, she looked and lamented the mother of Sisera through the lattice. Why does his chariot delay in coming? Why do the hoofbeats of his chariots tarry? Her wise princesses would answer her. Indeed, she repeats her words to herself. Are they not finding? Are they not dividing the spoil? A maiden, two maidens for every warrior. To Sisera, a spoil of dyed work, a spoil of dyed work embroidered double on the neck of the spoiler. So here's this mom of Sisera waiting for the thing that never happens. He never comes home. And so she ends this song in verse 31. Thus let all the enemies, thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. So there's our cycle complete. We came to peace once again. So I want us to return then to my central thought this morning. When the leaders lead and the people volunteer, praise the Lord. When we get something done in the work of God, praise the Lord. When we do it together, praise the Lord. It is so, so good. So leaders need to lead. Proverbs 29, I think it's verse 18. Says, where there is no vision, people are unrestrained. That's exactly what this was like in the time of Judges. They just did their own thing, and it got pretty ugly pretty fast. But the other part of this is that unity, for us to do things together, for there to be unity here, for there to be solidarity in what we do, whether we choose to try to distribute gospel literature in 5 counties, whatever we try to do, if in order for there to be solidity, in order for there to be buy-in, there has to be great searchings of heart. It'll always be this way. There'll always be searchings of heart. Everybody has an excuse. Everybody has an excuse. I'm too busy. That's a big one. I got stuff going on. I mean, really. I am busy. And maybe we are. I'm not saying we're not. But if that's my excuse every time, something's not quite right here in my heart. I'm not really lining up with the direction that I think God is leading you guys in. I'm too busy. That's not my thing, you know. You know, I can do this and this, but, you know, this hanging literature on the door, that's not my thing. Nah. Going to the fair, working at fair, it's not my thing. That's all. It's just not my thing. Searchings of heart. Or maybe I'm embarrassed to be with God's people. You know, 1 Corinthians says that God has chosen kind of the scum of the earth, kind of the weak things of the world to shame the wise, and maybe I'm a little embarrassed to be with God's people. Somebody else said something about that this morning. Maybe it was Tim. I don't know. About just sometimes we would rather enjoy the passing pleasures of sin than kind of resist. And so we can be embarrassed to be with God's people. And that's my reason for not joining. Or maybe I'd be okay with being with this person, but I'm not okay with him. Person. James is pretty hard on that subject. If we make divisions amongst ourselves, let's not go there. Or maybe it's too early, you know, that's too early for me. You guys pray at 8? That's a little too early. Maybe it's too late. No, I don't usually stay up. I can't do that. It's just too late. Or maybe I'm too tired, you know. I really am. I'm too tired. I work pretty hard, and so I'm too tired. Then maybe we are. It's not the point that you're not. The point is, if we're ever going to have solidarity, there will be searchings of heart. There will be decisions that have to be made for each one of us. Isn't that amazing? Or maybe this is a good one. I won't be missed. You know, there are a lot of people. They're already signed up. I won't be missed. Or somebody else will do it. It'll get done. In other words, not my problem. Not my problem. I knew that would get ant, so that's why I stuck that in there. I don't like bearing the responsibility of how something turns out. How about that one? What if our booth is a flop? You know, we're going to have this beanbag toss, and maybe it just flops. I don't want to be associated with something that doesn't go really well. So, I just won't be involved. That's my excuse. It's a good one. You know, got my name to take care of. Yeah. Or I'm not very good at it. And I'm not very good at painting faces. In a design that you can recognize. That's my excuse. I'm just not very good at it. Somebody told me I wasn't good at it. Ooh, that really can be one. That happens. We're working together and somebody makes fun of somebody. Ooh, that hurts. I'm not going to go there. We have excuses, okay? That's my point. We all have excuses. If we're ever going to have leaders lead, people volunteer, there will need to be some hard choices made. At the same time as we are addressing all of our excuses, God has a mission for us. He wants to display himself to the world. Matthew 5, Jesus said, you are a light. You're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Not a light. You are the light of the world. Now, it's not in us. It's the Lord in us. But you are the light of the world. Why would we ever want to hide that? At the same time as we're making our excuses, God is saying, please, trying to accomplish a mission here. Our church is associated with a group of churches called Great Commission Association, Great Commission Churches. And we have been around for 50 years. And the reason for the title was Matthew 28. Jesus said, go, because I'm in authority, go everywhere in the world and make disciples everywhere. This is what our leader is doing. And Tim and I, as under shepherds, are trying to follow him in leading you at the same time as we're battling through our excuses. 1 Thessalonians 2. Well, let me just say this. Searching the heart is an everyday circumstance for a believer. This is just a way of life. Searching your heart is a way of life. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul said, When I spoke to you guys, my words came to you not as the words of men, but as for what they really are, the words of God, and it's performing its work in you. In other words, there were searchings of heart in Thessalonica. And if you think that's good, Acts 17, verse 11 says that the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians because they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether this was really the message. They're searching of heart. This is the way of life for a believer. Searching, searching. God, where is my heart? How am I lining up with where my leaders are leading? In Acts 17, verse 30, Paul said that God has overlooked the time of ignorance, and he is now declaring to all men everywhere that they should repent. You don't repent without searching your heart. We have many things to repent of in life. And if we are addressing repentance to an unbeliever, what about ourselves? Should we not be able to make adjustments for my excuses, work through them, and make myself available? That is the thought here. Every generation has had to make difficult choices. I mentioned Joshua a bit ago. In Joshua 24, after when he was about ready to die, he said, you know, you guys, I know you're kind of a, you're quite a people group. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he said, choose this day. Choose this day. You choose this day. I've made my choice, Joshua said. You choose this day whom you will serve. Every generation needs to wrestle with making decisions. I just finished 1 Kings here a couple of weeks ago, and I just couldn't get past this again. In 1 Kings 18, verse 21, Ahab says, how long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? Make up your mind. Come on, guys. If God is God, serve Him. Serve Him. Recognize that all of these excuses that we have, this is part of living in this flesh. Make a decision. Every generation has to make a decision. In Matthew 10, one of the, in some ways, strangest addresses of Jesus is given. I believe we understand this, but He said, don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth. What? I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, he said. I came to set a son against a father, a daughter against a mother, and brother against brother. What are you talking about? He's talking about making a decision whether you're going to get involved with him. That's all. We can have peace. We can have much joy, but if I go this way and you stay over there, we're not together. And I have made my decision. I remember very, very vividly, very shortly after I became a Christian, going home and telling my dad I would not be coming back to take over the dairy farm. And I love the dairy. I love the production of a dairy. I love the bigness of all of it. I love the dairy. It was just temporal. And for me, I knew God was calling me to his people in a different way. And I made a decision. And over the years, my dad numerous times asked me to reconsider. I am amazed that my dad didn't light off the handle. He took it really, really well. I don't think he believed me. I think that's what was going on. But I had to make a decision. And you know, Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Believers, we're in this. This is ours to be making decisions, to be making resolves, great searchings of heart, yes. I'm making this pretty big here concerning the fair, but that's what's coming up. That's what's next here. And there will be decisions and there will be sacrifice for some of us to be involved. I know. That's what I'm talking about. Great searchings of heart. Your leaders are leading. This is one of the ways. Am I getting ahead of myself? I don't think so. We're leading us to interact with this community in the fair. We want to take a stand and say that God gives to Lifehouse salvation, sanctification, and satisfaction. God gives us satisfaction as we participate. We want to say through our booth that we're happy to be in his family together, laboring together. That is why, you know, we haven't mentioned this yet, but we do have our sign-up sheet in the back. Were you going to come up afterwards and talk about that, Tim? Okay, so 2 months ago in April, we asked you for what time you would have before we committed even to doing the fair booth. Would you have any time available to help? And we have more hours. I have it all written out. Have more hours totaled than we have need for. Now it's time to be specific. And back in the back, we have a log there where you can write your time in that you'll be able to serve. And like Luke says, don't everybody sign up for Monday afternoon, you know? Because it's going to have to be spread out somehow. We're going to have to serve at a different... And that's part of the searching. I don't want to serve then. Okay, I will serve then. We want to say, we, your leaders, are wanting to say to this community of Decorah that God is still calling people to himself. And we just want to be in the business with him. So we have this neat spinning wheel. And we're going to have neat questions again. And people like to hear that. I remember this as a little kid. My mom had this treadle sewing machine thing. And if I would take a clothespin and put a little playing card on the spokes of the wheel, it'd make noise. And our spinning wheel makes noise. That's fun. People love to spin the wheel. And then it stops on a number. And the number refers to a question. And we're in. We're in biblical conversation with them through a fun door. God wants to call people to himself. You pray. You pray that God would use this to lead to a relationship that we can follow up on somehow. We'll have our little tracks there. You know, we'll have a do you know for certain. If somebody is ready on the spot, we'll just, whoever's at the booth said, could I show you something? And we'll go through this booth, not through this booth, through this booklet, page by page, ask the questions that are there. You just follow the script. If God has prepared someone, that's what we'll do. But basically, we're wanting to win our community. And we've chosen to do this fair booth. Is this, did we do it 9 times now? Yeah. 8 or 9. Oh. We've done it 9 times. We're just going to throw the net on the other side of the boat, and maybe this time it'll be so full we won't be able to pull it back in. Leave that part to God. Be involved. Can you smile? Can you say hi in Jesus' name? You're in. Can you search your heart to participate? This is a work that we're doing. Can you participate? This isn't about whether you can paint faces or not. It's not about how well you can answer Bible questions. It's about winning the community by displaying Jesus, by displaying that He heals us individually and as a group. I can get along with Aunt. It's okay. That's what this is about. So it's unmistakable, according to Jesus. It's unmistakable if we can get along. They know there's something about it, and we are in this business. Let God use this to draw men to Himself. So I wrote down here, years ago, Tim and I used to pray for ways to meet needs in Decorah. The gospel is about meeting needs, our first need of being reconnected to our Savior, to our God. Very, very great need that we're not even aware of. But many times there are other observed needs. You know what this community needs? Garbage detail. There's nobody else who volunteers. We have been there, and they have increased our workload. They said, go get your own straw. No, that was something else. But we have more work to do each year, it seems. But here's the point. Everybody knows. I've been amazed at the things that get passed around. It's a small town. People talk to people. And we are known as the people who serve and as the people who share the gospel. Wonderful! May God be praised, and may we see fruit. I love the fact that we are known as the people who serve. And Tim just told me, it's going to be in the announcements, but tomorrow, there's another need. And the thing that we wanted to communicate with you, it'll come as an announcement, but the fascinating thing is that Mark Stockdale came because he knows he can count on us. Because God is a servant, and we're just doing His work with Him. God will probably be swinging the sledgehammers, I don't know, but we're going to demolish that place, and I'm too busy. Oops. No, honestly, I'm going to be picking Patty up at Rochester at that time, but, and that's what I'm saying, we understand, we do get busy, but there's a need, and God will be honored. The leaders are leading. Join us. Join us. So I would like you to get before God and ask Him how you might be able to help out. Limitations are understandable. Totally understandable. Not what this is about. This isn't about Bob being hard on people. It is an invitation to do things as a family. Rick Whitney, a few years ago, wrote a book called Growing Up Whitney. He has 7 kids, and Rick was a good leader in his home. And the title comes from the thought that he made sure that if you were a Whitney, you lived the Whitney cause. And I was blessed by this again this week, just thinking about my dad. That's the way it was in my home. My goodness, we got a lot done. Because Dad led, there was no way you would oppose it. And we volunteered. And so it is. This is the way for Lifehouse. Tim mentioned another thing to me earlier just this morning, but, you know, it's one thing to volunteer, and it's another thing to consider yourself a servant. And the difference is, in Luke 17, Jesus told this story of a slave out working hard, and he comes in, and the master doesn't say to the slave, oh, come on, wash up, sit down, let me get you something to eat. I mean, no, he's a servant. His title is a servant. When he comes in, he says, wash yourself, serve me, and afterwards you may eat. So he was telling this story because he was responding to their question, Lord, increase our faith. He said, the problem isn't that you don't have enough faith. The problem is you're too proud. The problem is you have the wrong job assignment in your mind. And so Tim's comment was, you know you're a servant when you feel like I haven't volunteered all I want to, and you're asking for more. And if I'm a servant, if you're asking, I'm in. God is asking us to be servants to one another, but in this case, Tim and I are leading. And I just urge you to participate however you can. Search your heart. David invited the Lord to search his heart. Search me, O God. Let God search your heart and tell you what part you should have in this great work. There's a lot of need. If you're not aware, we start garbage detail at 6. You'll be milking, I know, it's okay. And we go about an hour and a half. We get her done by 7:30. Yeah, that's about right. And then again, 2:30, another garbage detail round. So that's the garbage detail. And then next Sunday, we won't even, no, wait a minute, 2 weeks from today, we won't even be here. We'll be out cleaning up the mess. And it's so instructive, you know. Luke has made this comment that they have garbage cans every 20 feet. And you find garbage here. Couldn't you? Is this not humanity? I'm a rebel. I don't submit to nobody. Drop my trash where I drop my trash. This is the way we were towards God. And he still came after us. So this is right. It is right for us to serve in this way. Okay, and then there's one more thing that it's the booth. Okay, so we got the garbage detail, special one on Sunday morning, and then the booth. And the time slots are in the back. Please visit the table and sign an area of time for yourself. Okay, let's pray. God, we thank you that this brings refreshment to you when we work together, when we lead, and when we cooperate. We just want to hear your well done, good and faithful servant. So I ask you, God, to help us search our own hearts and find out how we can participate. David said, I'm not going to give something that costs me nothing. Oh, give us that heart. Bless us as we consider these things in Jesus' name.